I'm Brennan Marcello, Auburn beat reporter for AL.com, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone.
A miracle in turned hair! A miracle in turned hair!
And according to my sources, it's an almost credible sports discussion.
They're not going to keep them off the field tonight!
On the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
It's the Wishbone Podcast, your source for Auburn football discussion and commentary. Now, here are your hosts, Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, in association with TheWarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, we have a special pre-bowl game show today. I guess we'll try to squeeze it in tomorrow, the day before the bowl game. So we won't do a whole lot of time, I guess, really, you know, breaking down the key matchups with Memphis so much. It's just sort of talking about the overall situation. We got to talk about the defensive coordinator situation. We got to talk about the stadium. We got to talk about recruiting. So there's a lot of related peripheral things to cover. But before we do that, I just wanted to mention.
Well, I had this entire 22-man position-by-position breakdown versus Memphis ready to go.
Well, throw that in the trash, John. All that work was for nothing because we're not going to do it.
There you go.
You wasted your afternoon. but we do have some interesting updates as far as we've teased and hinted about our coming video option, and it's looking closer. I think that AU Wishbone TV may be coming in January. I'm not guaranteeing anything yet. We never know, you know, what snags we'll run into and so forth, but over the last few days, I've put some things in place. We now have a YouTube channel. There's nothing on it, so there's no point go looking for it now, anybody. But we have a YouTube channel, and if everything goes well, we'll have AU Wishbone Podcast and AU Wishbone TV. So you'll be able to listen to our show on your iPhone or in your car or whatever, but you'll also be able to dial up our YouTube channel and watch our TV show. Howard, what are you thinking about that?
Well, I'm going to be clear. We're not doing a separate TV show.
No.
It's going to be the podcast, like just a video of us talking doing the podcast.
But that's extreme added value. You get to see us talking about it, not just hear us. Somebody on Twitter said, they actually, now I have to not only sound like Coach Snyder, but look like him too. So our special effects and makeup budget is going to be drastically increased.
I see props and costumes coming.
Oh, Lord. I don't know about that. I don't know. We may see some of our stuffed animals. We have a lot of stuffed tigers. And so over the course of next season, I may introduce our viewers to a different one of our stuffed tigers per week. So how's it been going? How was your Christmas?
Great. How was your Christmas?
That was very good. Very good.
Excellent.
Did you get anything good?
Got lots of great stuff at our house. Got an Xbox One. Been playing some of that. So
cool. I'm just not much of a video gamer. If you took all the cinematic scenes from a video game that I thought was interesting and made a movie out of it, I would totally watch that. But I just have no interest in having to do it myself. I want it done for me. I don't have to do it.
There are people that do that now.
Well, bring them on. That's fine. I don't want to pay a whole lot of money to have to do the work myself. I want Hollywood to do the work, and I can enjoy it without having to. I can just sit back and have a drink and eat some chips and not have to fool with it.
Hey, let's go back to the Auburn football this is a discussion for our other show.
It is for the other show. That's right. So if you like this kind of talk, there's the White Rocket Podcast. Okay. So what's up first in our pre-bowl special?
I think first we have to go back to the defensive coordinator search, which you've already talked about a couple times, but which absolutely, you know, nothing official has happened on.
Yeah, I got kind of testy. Well, this is not news.
Wait, you got testy with people online?
on Twitter. Yeah,
I'm shocked.
It doesn't happen often, except every other day. But yeah, people are calling it a disaster or some hyperbolic term, and I'm just like, okay, this is Paul Feinbaum nonsense. I mean, you know, this was at a point where we had theoretically offered the Florida State guy. And he had thought about it for a while and apparently decided to stay in a very secure situation, and who can blame him? And because he's, you know, they won the national championship a couple of years ago and they got things rolling. So that's cool for them. And then we were moving on to the next person. And I was like, calling this chaos or a disaster or whatever at this point is pure Paul Feinbaum, set your hair on fire, run around screaming hyperbole. But I admit that I am starting to get a little antsy now, because it seems like we've heard rumors we've been turned down by the Penn State defensive coordinator, and we're still not sure where things stand with the South Florida guy, right?
That's true.
So we've got four people allegedly on the radar right now. What people do you see, or have you heard, are kind of on the radar right now?
I'll tell you these names, and then I'll go back and talk about process.
Okay.
The names that came out today, and I want to get your gut reaction to each name. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. The first is still Tom Allen, the South Florida defensive coordinator.
My cold, dead hands.
Lock of the week.
Okay.
Are you locking up that he's going to be the Auburn coordinator?
He would be my lock. He would be the one I would
like.
He'd
be your pick. All right. Ted Roof. Ted Roof, former Auburn defensive coordinator during the 2010 national championship season, now at Georgia Tech, and with Paul Johnson, and, you know, did a good job, but not, you know, not great, but he knows how to work with Malzahn. Other names, Todd Grantham at Louisville.
Oh, it's the worst one. This is a big one. Hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you, honey.
Blame yourself.
It's a trap.
I think of everybody on the list, he might be the best in terms of his resume,
Especially
in the SEC to this point. But, I mean, I can't get over the fact that I think he's a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate the end of the 2012 Auburn-Georgia game when they were beating us 38-0 and he left the starters in and was screaming at him to keep the shutout. So,
oh, remember the end of the 2010 game when he had
sure.
He was going after Cam and everything because of how he perceived that they were
– Nick Fairley stuff.
Yeah. And plus he's been in there getting contaminated by Petrino cooties.
Or petrinoids, is that what you said?
The petrinoids, yeah. So if we get him, it would be a fairly decent name. He'd be a fairly he knows the area, right? He's recruited in Georgia and this and Alabama and this area in Florida. He would not, you know, really on paper, it's like you say, on paper Todd Grantham is not that bad of a of a fourth or fifth choice, honestly.
In total defense, they were 14th in the country or whatever this year. So,
yeah. And they were pretty darn good the year before that, I'm assuming he was there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Petrino teams are supposed to be offensive juggernauts. And the thing we've known about Louisville the last couple of years, they've been a great defensive team.
Mm-hmm. So that's part of it. And then the other name out there is Manny Diaz, who's now at Mississippi State again. Who's a younger guy, and he improved their defense, but it wasn't.
He's the guy that went to Texas and crapped out, though, isn't he?
Yes, but I think everybody crapped. I think Texas's problem was Texas. It was kind of too many cooks in the kitchen and too much of kind of a country club atmosphere where they kind of cherry picked guys with big resumes, whatever. But and then nobody had to work hard and stuff. So
all right. On an A plus to F minus scale, take each one of them. Ted as a hire and as what you think about them. Let's not worry about winning the press conference right now. Just in terms of being Auburn's defensive coordinator come next fall. How do you rate on A to F, Ted Roof?
C,
yeah. The defensive line was good, though many wanted to credit Tracy Rocker for that.
Mm-hmm.
The secondary was terrible.
Well, I mean, and he did make adjustments during the games. I mean, there were many games where the defense got better in the second half. And
no question.
The team down, and that was him. I mean, he made those adjustments. So. But he was also there. I mean, wasn't he still the defensive coordinator in 2012?
No, that was Van Gorder.
That's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We had him 9, 10, and 11, and then he left when Gus left.
That's right. All right.
So, Grantham.
I don't know, B. I mean, I don't want him, but I think he'd be, he'd do a good job.
Yeah, it's fair. Diaz.
I like him. I think he's a smart young coach. I think he thinks out of the box about stuff. So, I mean, B minus, C plus.
Okay. I have no opinion on him, honestly. I mean, I know that Mississippi State's defense has been good.
I really liked him before he went to Texas. I mean, I think he really, thinks about things the right way and stuff. And, I mean, there's a right way and a wrong way. I think he's very smart about how he does things.
Isn't that a song, Going to Texas?
Probably.
So. Probably. It ought to be. And who was the other one? Allen.
South Florida. I mean, B+.
B+, yeah. Okay. So, honestly, I don't even know if the guy at Florida State would have been an A.
He'd have been an A. I'd have been delighted.
Okay. So. All right. So there's still a chance that we could be not too dissatisfied. We just need to do something. But that's what's so funny. It shows the disconnect. I know you're going to talk about process, but this is funny. This shows the disconnect between the fan base and the actual program. Is that the program, Gus is like, well, I didn't get the guy I wanted the week before the dead period, so it's been Christmas and all, so we haven't really had to worry about it. We'll do it when we do it. The fan base is like, we haven't got a defensive coordinator yet.
Oh, my God!
That's a completely different mindset. And the only thing that bothers me is that so many people base their opinions on the loudest, most hyperbolic. I'd have looked this word up if I'd realized I was going to be saying it so many times tonight, But I just hate to think that the squeakiest wheels are the ones, setting the agenda for us.
But the reality is they're not. And that's what I wanted to say is that, all the stuff that's going on there is just noise, okay? Is it having any impact on stuff?
Well, short term, no. But long term, it changes the perception.
Well, but in the short term, we're going to talk about recruiting in a minute. Auburn had the best defensive recruiting month of December of any team in America.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any team in America.
Mm-hmm.
We hauled in a ton of great defensive players, and that was after Muschamp left, a lot of them, who committed or recommitted after Muschamp left. So it is not affecting recruits aren't like, oh, it's terrible, Auburn's defense, Auburn's program's going in the trash, Auburn's defense is going in the trash. They don't think that. So, I think the defensive staff and Gus has talked to them and reassured them, and they're fine. So I think it's interesting that, 18-year-olds who are more informed than many of our fans are, pretty good with the situation, but a lot of our fans are not. So, but the bigger thing I want to say about the process is that Auburn has gone about this the way I wanted them to go about it, which is, don't immediately hire the short-term easy answer, but go start out with, who's the best person we theoretically could get and go talk to them? And then who's the next best person we could theoretically get? And try and work through that stuff. And they, they went after Kelly and tried to get him and it didn't work out. But that was the right thing to do.
Sure. Well, I think what people are objecting to is not that how we did it, but the fact that we keep having to go on to the next person. That's the thing that I think that has people concerned. Just to play devil's advocate here, is that we are having to go so many rungs on that ladder.
But again, there's two separate things, okay? There's process and there's outcome, okay? And who the defensive coordinator ends up being,
right,
if it's a – it ends up being Ted Roof or whatever, then you could say, well, that's not a great outcome, especially where we started,
Mm-hmm.
Going from Muschamp to him and with the people that we went through in between. But the goal is to hire the best person you could possibly get And I think Auburn's trying to do that by working down the list. I'm glad they called the guy at Penn State and they came out this big public thing. No, he's not leaving, whatever. Great. I'm glad we freaking called him. I'm glad we tried to hire him. He's Shoup's a great defensive coordinator. He's carrying that freaking program right now because their offense sucks. So, if people are freaking out about process right now, but the reality is our defensive coordinator doesn't have – whoever we hire isn't coaching in the bowl game.
Right.
And they're not going to have anything to do until, we get closer to signing day and spring practice. So it doesn't matter. It's just something for people to yell about on the radio and talk about in the media and stuff. And the only thing that matters in this at all in the big picture is the fact that we are getting these people. And does that say something about the perception of other coaches in terms of Gus's future at Auburn?
Right, right.
That is the only part of it that matters.
Right. Well, I'm sure. Absolutely. And I think that some Auburn fans are concerned about that perception, although I think some of them also are fanning the flames of it. But the thing is
– That's exactly. You can't be the Gus needs to be fired person.
And then turn around and say they don't have confidence that Gus is going to be there. Well, why do you think that is, dumbass?
Because you're
out there saying he ought to be fired.
You're on the message boards and you're shouting from the rooftops and stuff that he ought to be fired. And so when you do that, the people, another coach Googles, to see what Auburn fans think about Gus, and they see that. Jeez. So that's the part that I think is a little bit drives me a little bit crazy.
This is what's been driving me crazy today, and it's part of this, is that There are an unfortunately large number of Auburn fans out there who are extremely myopic, extremely short-sighted, and they believe that there are two programs in all of American college football, two, Alabama and Auburn. There's no other teams. There's Alabama and Auburn. And if Alabama is winning more games than us, something is wrong and fire the coach. If Alabama's getting better recruits than we are, something's wrong, fire our coach. If Alabama, if Auburn's not getting the defensive coordinator we want, whereas Alabama just brings Pruitt back in, fire the coach, right? They can't understand that there's like 120 other teams besides Alabama that wish they were doing as well right now as a program as Alabama. And if you base your entire evaluation of Auburn's current status on one other team, and you happen to choose the one team, right, that nobody can measure up to right now, then you're going to pretty much always be disappointed and you're going to fire your coach every year. In fact, here's my new plan, Auburn fans, okay? My dear fellow family members out there, let's just have a new deal where we bring in a coach for 1 year. Like I talked about this before, right? Let's do like Brazil at the World Cup. We'll bring in a coach for 1 year. They could go 0-14, they could go, or 0-12, they could go 14-0. Doesn't matter. We fire them after the bowl game and start over in January every year. Would that make you happy? Because I guarantee you, at least 50% of those coaches will do crappy, and you'll want to fire them anyway. So we'll just bring in a new one every year. And you don't have to get all hyperbolic. You don't have to get all setting your hair on fire. You don't have to sit in front of the radio listening to Feinbaum for 3 or 4 hours a day telling you that we're in a disaster and it's a chaos and Auburn is stupid and all. And then you get on the message board and you just demand to fire your coach because you know what? He's going to be fired regardless when the year is over. So you won't even have to worry about it. How do you feel about that? Would that make you happy? Have I found the magical cure, John?
You have not found the magical cure.
Dang it. Because the best coach in the world is not walking through our door. We're going to get the best coach we can get. Okay? But there's 120 teams out there all competing, all throwing money at the top coaches, and even when we get the top coaches like we have right now, okay, there's still other factors and other issues. So this is what has just given me high blood pressure all week.
See, and I would say I don't worry about what other people think because it doesn't matter. I mean,
but it does matter in the long term because it changes perceptions in the fan base, which gets back to the big money donors. They have to hear Feinbaum making fun of us every day about what a bunch of Keystone Cop idiots down at Auburn that can't shoot the game, that can't shoot straight. John, do you not think that doesn't have an impact on people like Jimmy Rain and the other people who have the reins of our program in their hands? Of course it does. And when Auburn does things that make the program look bad, and even if you and I can intellectually say, oh, it's going to be okay, these people that are so hair trigger, they hear that and they get embarrassed and they don't want to go back into their place of business around Alabama fans are going to say, hey, did you hear what Feinbaum said about you guys today? Yuck. And they call up a few phone calls and say, we got to get this coach out of here and bring a new coach in here because I'm getting tired of getting made fun of by the Bammers. You better believe it has an impact on those people. They do not want to be embarrassed in their daily lives because they live in Alabama. You and I have the luxury of not being around Alabama people and not having to hear this garbage 24/7, 365. But many Auburn fans live right in ground zero and they hear this crap every day, and you had better believe that it has an impact. It has an effect on what ultimately happens on the plains. It absolutely does.
That's fair, but I would say that the only thing that matters is how many games Gus wins next year. And that's going to be the ultimate determining factor. And if it's six, he's probably there's going to be a lynch party. You know, and if it's 10, then we're going to be fine. So and the question is, can he hire a defensive coordinator that can help him get to the, you know, a double digit number? So, you know, whoever that person is, again, I don't care about the press conference and I don't care what anybody in talk radio says. If they could do the job in the long term and, you know, more than 1 year, build something, I'll be happy.
Here's the thing. We're not going to win 10 games next year. The situation we have found ourselves in right now is one that will take a couple of years to dig out of. It just is. And people have to be patient. And as Stuart Mandel said on his podcast last week, that place has no patience.
We don't.
Now, so, there've been times I've been happy about that. 2012, 1998. I wasn't upset then. But there have been times I've been very put out with the lack of patience of our fans, such as, and our administration, such as 2003 and right now. Though we don't know about the administration right now, but you know what I mean.
I don't think the administration's lying. I mean, I think they're willing to back him up and throw money at whoever they want to hire as defensive coordinator. So,
is Jay Jacobs still going to be athletic director come 2016 in a couple of days? I mean, all the rumors going around a couple of days ago that he'd already been told he wasn't going to be renewed.
Far as I know, he's going to be back. Hmm. I mean, you hear these rumors of stuff, but at the same time, like, you know, they built into a practice facility. He hired Pearl. He just hired the baseball coach. Mm-hmm. So
softball coach.
Yeah, I was going to say some of the other coaches he's hired in the, you know, non-football sports.
That was a story of the year to me, the women's softball team. Yeah. I mean, I know it was great what the men's basketball team did. And in any other year, well, not any other year, obviously, if the football team had, if it was 2013 or whatever. But I mean, I just wanted to say that because they were doing a poll, I think, on College and Magnolia. And I'm just like, you know, the basketball team was great. And they got into the finals of the semifinals SEC basketball tournament. That's really cool. The women freaking won the SEC, right? And then they went in the Final Four of the national championship. Did they get to the championship game? Yeah, I believe they did. Mm-hmm. They won the Final Four and lost in the championship game, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's the story of the year. There's no question about it. There's no question about it. That's an amazing run.
It was great.
So, all right. Well, we've beaten this horse nigh unto death.
We have. Let's move on.
That was item one on our agenda. We now have 30 minutes to the other half. The other items after one.
Rapid fire.
Yes.
Auburn proposes discusses proposing stadium renovations. You are the author of the History of Jordan-Hare chapter in our book.
I am.
So what do you think?
I think it's well past time. We built the stadium in 39. We added on to it in 49 in the 50s. We added on to it in 1980 with the West deck. We added into it in 87 with the East deck. And really since then, other than expanding the edges of the East deck a little bit, adding a couple more suites and putting up the Mothratron, we haven't really done a whole lot. We've beautified it some, but we haven't really done any major, you know, things to it really since 1987. So I just feel like the stadium desperately, if nothing else, the picture I'm looking at of the brick facade around the north end zone, because the north end zone is the least attractive part of the stadium, honestly. The outside of the west deck is close, but I think that the north end zone stands, which is just a metal skeleton. Mm-hmm. It's where that hole where I used to park when I worked at the AU bookstore to walk across the street, Taylor Center. They talk about closing that in with brick to match the east side where the big AU is. And I think that is desperately, desperately needed. I'm all for that. And putting up another big screen there, too, which would be cool. So what do you think about it all?
I mean, I don't know if we need another giant screen. I really don't. Mm. I mean, I'd be interested to hear back from people how much difference it makes in terms of the experience, whether we think we need two of those. The idea of redoing some of the seating and, you know, field level suites and that kind of stuff is interesting. Redoing the locker room, you know, is probably a recruiting kind of thing that could have some potential payoff. But I love the idea of the brick facade because that is the ugliest side of the stadium for sure.
It's kind of like what I've said this before, what they did to Florida Field at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium back in the 90s was that they basically built a freestanding lower stands and upper deck as one unit that just kind of plugged in where the old end zone stands, bleacher stands used to be, and just took it straight up. And that's kind of what they're doing here. The other people that did something kind of like this is Florida State. If you've ever been down to Doak, when I was at Doak in the for the 89 Auburn-Florida State game, the end zone where we were wooden high school bleachers, wooden bleachers that were open on the bottom to the ground.
Nice.
I mean, in fact, during the game, it split in half and the sharp ends came up and hurt somebody. The bright side of it was when the Florida State marching band marched under us, people were dumping their drinks on them, which was horrible but funny at the time because they were really jerks. So what Florida State did was kind of what we're talking about here, which is just enclose the whole thing in a brick oval.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would look really nice. Make it look more like the east side and less like the west side. So that'd be cool. Yeah, and it is neat having that field level suites where like the players can like run right in and grab a sandwich and a beer during the game without even leaving the ground level.
I mean, I've seen some football games at close to ground level, and I don't think it's going to be that great a view at that end. I mean, I guess if you were down there and Chris Davis was running the kickback right towards you, that'd be great. But,
that's one thing.
You know, if we're at the goal line at the other end, offense or defense, you can't tell what's going on from that view. So.
No, I wouldn't want to be down there, but it is kind of neat to have it. So.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I'm all for things that make the stadium a better fan experience without adding, you know, 20,000 more seats or anything. Whatever we can do to that, make it look better, make it better for the players, better for the fans, great.
We don't need the seats. That's exactly right. In fact, most stadiums are starting. I think Tennessee's starting to regret having 107 or whatever thousand. But I'll say this. If they spend X millions of dollars building all that, that's going to be even less patience. That's going to be even less patience. You know it.
That's a fair statement.
Yeah. Recruiting. Talk about recruiting a little bit. You said the defense has been going great. Tell us what else.
Well, I mean, part of that was that Auburn, you know, has had a bunch of guys sign and are going to be early enrollees, and a bunch of these were guys that committed or signed their papers in the last few weeks because they're going to enroll in January. So they signed the financial aid form, which is kind of the new thing players do. They can't sign the scholarship papers until
February.
Signing day, but the players that are signing early can sign it after their, after their school gets out. Mm-hmm. But so basically, you know, we have nine guys from this signing class who are going to be there in January when school starts. Nine out of, you know, and actually, you could say that we have 10 because, well, we'll go back. We'll talk about the transfers in a minute, but really nine signees. That includes John Franklin III, the JUCO quarterback we talked about a lot, who theoretically may be the starter. We have a junior college defensive end named Paul James III, who, you know, hopefully, you know, if Lawson stays around, he could be the other starting defensive end on the team next year. We got the one of the top wide receivers in the whole country, and Kyle Davis, 6'2", 220, you know, can block and run. I mean, I think he's going to play right away. We got a really good tight end from North Georgia named Landon Rice, who's like 6'6", 250. You know, he could be, you know, the kind of physical blocking receiving tight end we haven't had in a while in this offense. And then,
yeah, I've heard big things about him.
We got Malik Miller, who was the other running back on Kerryon Johnson's team. They were kind of the 1-2 punch a couple years ago. He's a bigger running back, more of a Ben Tate kind of guy, and people were excited about him. We got
called a fullback by most, I think.
Well, I think a lot of schools wanted him only as a fullback, but Auburn said you could be the tailback, and that's what we're going to play you as, and that's what he wants to do.
Right.
Marlon Davidson, who is like the number nine prospect in the country in a lot of ratings, who's, you know, a big defensive end, could play tackle, but probably like a bigger end, more, you know, and one of the absolutely had to have kind of guy, and we got him. And then Antoine Jackson's a, you know, a defensive tackle, you know, 300-pound guy that could sign and could come in right away and play in the middle where we need some people. And then two other guys, Trey Threat, or Threat, who's a linebacker, who's, you know, we definitely need some more of those to help come in with Trey Williams right away. And John Broussard, who's another defensive back, who played at Phoenix City Central, who could come in right away and hopefully help. We're losing Countess, we're losing Jonathan Jones. We have some experienced guys in the secondary, but we need some other guys to, you know, play next year. And Broussard could get in early and get in that mix. So that's a lot of guys. And a lot of these guys, you know, had the opportunity to switch after Muschamp left. They could have gone somewhere else, and they didn't. And it's big. I mean, that's a really, really big thing. I mean, and guys like Marlon Davidson and Antoine Jackson, Kyle Davis, you know, everybody in the country wanted those guys. So those were huge gets for Auburn. And I think getting those kind of guys, especially in the defensive side of the ball, shows that, you know, Auburn's still going to have a lot of talent on that side of the ball for whoever ends up being the defensive coordinator. And a lot of these guys are going to come in, you know, right away and play and make an impact, and you know, they're going to help.
Right.
So I feel, you know, these guys are adding to the guys that were redshirted last year, plus the transfers, and they're going to add a new infusion of talent to this team. So, and the other thing, while we're saying that we there, Auburn has two guys transferring in, and I made on our last podcast, I made a mistake and said we didn't have any, and I was incorrect. I blanked out on this completely. We have two guys transferring in.
One blame yourself.
I fully accept blame.
I don't have facts to back this up.
And I didn't at the time, but I do now. Auburn is two players transferring. Two players transferring in. The one is Jamal Dean, who is a cornerback, a defensive back guy who signed with Ohio State and enrolled at Ohio State, and then was basically there for, you know, semester and decided he didn't want to be there, transferred to Auburn and sat out the year, and he'll be eligible.
Where did he come from? Where did he come from?
He was from the South, but he went to Ohio State.
Oh, right, right. Okay, I got you. Yeah, yeah, so, I remember him now.
And so then he's coming back to Auburn. He's a bigger guy, too, I believe. He's like a
Was he the one that had a medical issue and the Ohio State doctors had a problem with it, but then the Auburn doctor said, oh, he's fine. Okay, that all comes back to me now, yeah.
Right. So, but he's a guy that's going to, you know, he'll be there for spring practice. And he's a bigger defensive back. I mean, he's an over 6 foot, 200-pound defensive back, and we need some of those kind of guys.
Sure.
And the other guy is a big offensive tackle for Texas, who transferred to be on the team next year. Who's a, you know, if we lose Avery Young, and or Sean Coleman of the NFL draft, this is a guy who could come in next year and start. He was a starter at Texas, and their offensive line was great, but he was a highly recruited guy out of high school, and he could be in a situation where we have to throw him in the mix next year.
Right.
So.
And what about the Jacksonville State quarterback?
That's the rumor, you know, this week.
He looked pretty darn good to me. Like one game I saw him play in, I don't remember the team he was playing, but he really pushed.
He don't remember the team he was playing.
Now the team he was playing, I don't think they ended up with a winning record or anything. I mean, let's not get crazy. They weren't a great team, but it seemed like he pushed them around pretty good.
He tore us into little pieces, man. What are you talking about?
Us? What's this us?
Auburn.
Whatever team that was that he was playing. So it was probably Montana State, wasn't it?
The rumor is that Eli Jenkins from Jacksonville State could consider transferring to Auburn and play quarterback next season. Obviously, if you watch the Jacksonville State Auburn game, he's very good.
Dude, he would be number one immediately, I would think.
I think so too, based on what I saw. I think that guy would start tomorrow.
Could he transfer and play immediately?
I believe so.
How does that work? I don't know how it works going up rather than down. I know how it works going side. I know how it works side to side. I know how it works going down, but I don't know how it works going up.
I believe it works going up that you're eligible immediately coming from 1AA to 1A.
Huh.
I believe so.
Okay. Well.
Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'd have to sit out, but I don't think so.
Let me tell you, if he came in and could start in 2016, I will revise my previous statement. I think that if we had a quarterback as dynamic as him and, you know, having all of our running backs back with their act together, hopefully, and the new receivers coming in and everything, we would have a chance. We'd have a chance. You know,
I think that would be a huge thing if he came.
Think about this. Let's say that all he did was give us a touchdown more in the big games than we were able to get with Jeremy and an injured Sean. Okay, John, a touchdown more a game, we're like a 9-3 team this year, at least. Right. 10-2, 9-3. Is that right?
That's right. We beat Ole Miss and State in Arkansas.
So let's get him.
Well, I mean, again, my thing is, if we get A-level quarterback play from anybody next year, that's going to be the situation. But he is a guy that could clearly do it. I mean, you see him play, he could be a dynamic SEC quarterback.
You'd be rolling the dice with these other guys. There's no question about it. But with him, we'd feel like we got loaded dice.
Yes.
All right.
And so they have one more game to play if you want to watch him now. They're playing in the 1AA National Championship game. I believe it's like the day after. I think it's – if they wait until the bowls are done, I think, before they play it. So I think it may be a week from Saturday. I could be wrong. So they're playing like the 3-time defending national champs, like Montana State or somebody in the 1AA national. Well, I mean, whoever that is, they've won it like 3 times in a row.
In
the national championship game. So
yeah, I hear those teams just because, you know, being down here around SIU, we hear about them a lot. There was a couple of years ago, SIU made a nice little run in the playoffs, and they got to play the Delawares, you know, and the North Dakotas and all those guys. So states that have, you know, just enough people living in the state to field a football team. I think they actually dressed out a grizzly bear for one of those games, but I can't remember.
That's fair.
He was a little, either he hadn't shaved. Some guy hadn't shaved. Anyway. Well, let's see. We got to hit the
Factoid of the Week.
Now, doing all that Alabama-Auburn situation, you know, that I talked about a little while ago, I went and dug around just to figure out the situation because, you know, I was saying how if Auburn isn't on a par with Alabama, half of our fan base sets their hair on fire and runs naked through the streets screaming, fire the coach, fire the coach, fire the coach. So I just kind of wanted to see where that stood. And even with Saban there, what was the last year? Okay, this is a trivia question for you, John, and I'll make it a factoid, but I want to see if you can guess at all. What was the last year that Alabama won a third game in a row over Auburn? What was the last time Alabama won 3 games in a row? Give me the year that was the third game in a row. How far back, just out of the top of your head, how far back do you think you're going to have to go? Like 5 years, 10 years?
No, I think it's like end of the Bowden era, beginning Tuberville era.
Nope.
Wait, what year?
1992, the end of Pat Dye era.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Alabama has not won 3 games in a row over us since 1990, 91, 92. That's pretty amazing. Now, they could do it this year.
Van, that's 25 years ago.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's 23.
Well, but I mean, 25 since the beginning of that stretch.
Yeah, that's true.
And,
yeah.
And during that 25-year time period, we have a 7-game winning streak against them, don't we?
And a 4-game winning streak against them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, six, not seven, six.
Six, right.
Right. From 2002 to 2007, we won six. And from 1986 to 1989, which was right before that, we won four. Other than that, it has bounced back and forth, back and forth. Let's go one more. When was the last time Alabama won 4 in a row? Now, we just established Auburn won 6 in a row over Alabama from 2002 to 2007, not that long ago. When was the last time Alabama won as many as 4 against us?
In the 70s.
78 to 81 was the last time they won 4 on us. Bear Bryant versus Doug Barfield and then Pat Dye's first year was the last time they won 4 in a row. I'm not sure what that means other than the series has been pretty back and forth and pretty even since about 1981.
Mm-hmm.
And the team that has done the dominating has tended to be us rather than them. I think that factoid of the week is going to come as quite a surprise to a whole lot of younger Auburn fans out there and maybe some others too.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm still going to go run outside and light my hair on fire.
Yeah. Well, just warn Denise what's going on, okay? So, right. And tell her it was your idea. Don't call me.
It's 100% Van's idea.
I'm going to destroy this recording before it goes out. I don't want her mad at me. The Birmingham Bowl. The Birmingham Bowl. Couldn't they come up? I mean, how many bowls has Birmingham had over the years? And what happened that they just ran out of ideas? I mean,
I think the difference is the city must be sponsoring it. That's why they're not some corporation.
I mean, it was the Hall of Fame Bowl, right? Didn't it start there before it moved down to Florida?
Oh, yeah.
And then they had the Hospitality Bowl or something for a couple of years. They've had about as many different bowl games as they've had different non-NFL pro football programs, which is quite a few, and I know because I supported most of them back when I gave a rat's butt if Birmingham had a pro football team, which was a long time ago.
You had your World League and your USFL stuff,
and the
XFL or what? Was
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and there's another one. I think they had a Canadian Football League team, and they had a the one back in the 70s, the Birmingham Americans, which became the Birmingham Vulcans. Let me see if I can get it. There's the Birmingham Americans, Birmingham Vulcans, the Birmingham Stallions, the Birmingham Fire, Birmingham Barracudas. And then the Birmingham, whatever they were in the X was like the Birmingham Bombers or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they realized that probably wasn't the right thing to name a team in a city where they had the bombing of the little girls in the church. Remember?
Yes.
And they changed it to the Birmingham. Nobody gives a crap. Which was, I think nobody gives a crap might've won the league that year. I don't know. What do you think about this bowl? Enough about Birmingham. We're going to alienate half our listeners in the lovely
Magic
City.
The number one question in bowl games is, does the team want to be there? Are they excited to play? Are they going to, you know, and does that motivation fuel into, are they going to play hard? And so do you think that Auburn is motivated to play in this game?
You know,
that's the question. That's the number one, because I think if we play our A game, we can beat Memphis. They have an excellent quarterback, but they also have a lot of issues with their coaches leaving. They got a couple of coaches that are still there that are kind of running everything, and otherwise it's graduate assistants and stuff. So they've kind of got a patchwork duct tape coaching staff.
Right.
They have a great quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be an NFL draft pick. He'd maybe be the best quarterback we played this year from that perspective. Mm. And I watched the Ole Miss-Memphis game. They tore Ole Miss up. throwing the ball.
I saw part of it, yeah.
And their defense played well against Ole Miss, but Ole Miss can't run the ball.
Right.
And I think we'll be able to run the ball against them. Mm. But can we stop them? I don't know. So it may be a thing where the only way we could beat them is in a shootout.
It could be a fun game. I mean, it could be exciting to watch.
I think it could be a fun game because I think both teams come in with like, you know what? Just throw it out there and let's throw it, you know, let it hang loose and just kind of go for it. And it, because it doesn't really matter. You know what I'm saying?
Well, is Auburn going to be a little tight though?
I don't think Auburn's going to be tight.
I mean, in the sense of, oh no, we can't lose to Memphis.
I mean, look, I don't think you could do that because Memphis is good enough to beat us whether we're tight or not. So I think you have to go say, like, this is a good team. We respect them, and we're going to play as hard as we can to beat them.
Again, you and I can say that. But the people lighting their hair on fire outside the Galleria that are already in line for next year's media days, I don't know if they're going to say that, right? They're going to see us lose to Memphis and be like, they can't even beat Memphis. Fire him. They're going to be throwing a brick through Gus's window. And I know that it's reasonable that we could lose to them.
All right. I mean,
tonight I've alienated the city of Birmingham and half the Auburn fan base. This is not good. I've got to reel it in. I apologize.
The other scenario that's out there that I thought about, say, about the defensive coordinator search is that we have talked to other people that, you know, the media doesn't know about and the message boards don't know about, but they want to coach their team in the bowl games this week. And after the bowl game is over, then, you know, because they're getting a lot of coaches get big bonuses for coaching the bowl game, hundreds of thousands of dollars sometimes. And so this person said, hey, I'm interested in coming to Auburn, but I want to coach my team in the bowl game and collect that check, you know, and then I'll come sign with you. I'm just throwing that out there as another scenario that I think is within the realm where I want to, you know, I owe it to these players to coach them in the bowl game, whatever, and then I'll leave. So I think that's within the realm of possibility.
Sure.
But I mean, I'm excited because, you know, hopefully some Auburn players have been banged up, like Sean White will be healthy, and we can just go out there and just kind of go forward and attack and have fun. And then we'll get to see some younger guys who didn't, you know, had a chance to show up in bowl practice and do some things and see what they can do.
Can I tell you a secret?
Sure.
When we're doing our show and it's video, mm-hmm. It will be going out live on video as we're doing it.
That's a bad idea.
It probably is.
Oh my God!
Yeah, but let me tell you this. People can be watching it and they can interact. They can like send us in questions and stuff on the fly. They can react on the fly to the stuff that I'm saying, I'm afraid.
That's a bad idea. All right. We need some kind of delay like NFL on TV or whatever.
Should I key up Mira here? Is it time?
Sure.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, 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 on the AU Wishbone podcast.
So what do we have this week?
Our first question comes from Ross Hatcher, who emailed the AU Wishbone at Gmail address and asked the question. And he said,
there you go.
Would it be in Jeremy Johnson's best interest to consider a position switch like Jonathan Wallace and Cody Burns? That is, if he doesn't transfer. He's a big guy. Maybe he could help out a tight end.
Come to Auburn, play a different position than quarterback in your senior year. So it's kind of like our recruiting message now.
That's you what could it turn into, I guess.
Son, you're a five-star quarterback. You could come to Auburn, play quarterback your first 3 years, and tight end your senior year.
Well, it's the running joke is whatever that Mac Brand recruited all these great quarterbacks as safeties, and so at Auburn we bring him in as quarterbacks and you turn him into something else. So.
Right. That's about right. I don't really know what to think about Jeremy. I just don't think he has much of a future with us. I love the kid, love him to death, but
I hope he has success. But it's tough for me to see a path forward where he. I mean, if he was a starting quarterback on day one next year, I would be very nervous.
Yes, absolutely. Against Clemson, yeah.
Especially unlike your scenario we talked about earlier with the Jacksonville State kid. So
yeah.
All right. David Smiley says, if you had to recast Star Wars using college football coaches, who would play the major characters?
Well, we know that Lou Holtz is Yoda.
Oh, gosh.
There's no doubt about that, right?
Sure, that works.
I think Saban is that guy in Phantom Menace that flew around on his little wings and sold parts to land speeders and stuff.
He's Palpatine, man.
Saban is Palpatine?
He's the Emperor.
I just didn't want to give him that much of a compliment.
No, he's evil. He shoots lightning at people.
I think that what's his name at Clemson? Not Jimbo, but Dabo. Whatever. Somebody ends in an O. I think Dabo is Salacious Crumb, the little dude on Jabba the Hutt's floating barge that goes. Okay, here we go. He goes.
That's the little rat-like thing?
Yeah, that's Dabo.
Listen, I've watched Star Wars 100 times. I never knew that guy's name.
Salacious Crumb, yeah.
I'm trying to think of who else would be a good...
Gus is a Jedi Master of some sort.
We hope.
And Muschamp is a Wookiee.
Yeah, Muschamp is Chewbacca. That's good. I like that. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who is Les Miles?
Oh, God. Les Miles is too strange for Star Wars.
No.
He's too bizarre for Star Wars.
He's some really way out character.
He's somebody in the cantina.
Yes.
Eating some grass over in the corner with Hammerhead and those guys.
That's right.
Les is over there going... I have that on my iPad, but I'd have to dig around to find it. So
not bad.
Yeah.
All right. That's enough of the Star Wars question. The other question that I got was about my happiness about no longer having to have Scott Leffler in my football life since he coached his last game for Virginia Tech a couple days ago. So it is a happy day in the ring.
Is he done?
Well, yes, because Justin Fuente, the Memphis coach, is the new Virginia Tech coach, and his people are going to be coaching the offense next year. So Scott Leffler is out at Virginia Tech. So I, as an Auburn fan whose daughter is also an Auburn fan but goes to Virginia Tech, mm-hmm. we have had to endure – I've had to watch every Scott Leffler game, 2014 to 15. Every game that he coached for Virginia Tech in those
Good
years.
Grief.
And it was just as painful as you can imagine it was. Goodness. And I'm so delighted he's gone. It's like a holiday in my house. You can't imagine. I was running around like, I'm free.
I promise you I have the Star Wars.
No, we're good.
I have the. Dang it.
All right, we're good. We're moving on.
Move on, absolutely. We're running on time. I'm just searching
around the SEC.
Oh crap! All right,
I messed you up.
Now it's my own fault. Mira, do it.
Let's take a trip around the SEC.
Oh, did we have a Reynolds Wolf question?
No, we didn't.
Didn't get a question from Reynolds this week. Reynolds, your punishment for not sending us a question this week, although you didn't really have a lot of notice that we were doing a show because we didn't do one last week. So it's my fault. I'll take the responsibility. But the punishment for both of us is that I will not play your awesomely cool introduction because you don't have a question. So get us in a question for next time, and I'll play your awesomely cool introduction, which I think is the funniest thing I've ever done on here. But that's just me. Okay. Nobody else thinks so. So around the SEC, what are you thinking?
It's interesting, we were joking today online about how Kirby Smart is coaching Alabama's defense in the not college football playoffs, and Pruitt is helping coach Alabama's defense.
That's what they're going to point to if Michigan State scores a bunch of points.
Mm-hmm.
Watch.
Yeah, well, no, 100%. They're going to say Kirby Smart was distracted.
Yep. Yep.
And it was set up this way last year with Tom Herman. Well, the other thing that's going to drive him crazy is the minute Alabama loses, Kirby Smart's going to be running around with the Georgia hat on. So
if worse comes to worst and Alabama does win it all, It's going to be funny to see Kirby Smart standing there quietly as an Alabama assistant is required to, and all of a sudden he whips off his Alabama hat, puts his Georgia hat, and starts recruiting for Georgia in the background while Saban's talking to the, you know, the little interviewer lady.
We'll see. Tom Herman had his Houston hat on before he got on the field for the celebration of the Ohio State game. So, Smart's recruiting for Georgia. Let's be clear. I mean, he's the Georgia head coach. Yeah, that's a done deal. And he's recruiting for Georgia while he's coaching Alabama in this bowl game. So,
and I'm sure Georgia feels like it's just free advertisement for their program, right?
Sure, but it's better. He feels like it's better for them if he's there doing it. So,
yeah.
And then the other big news: Mark Richt hired the former Missouri defensive line coach, who we know has done a good job there.
That's
a good hire for David. And a loss for Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eddie Grand is the new Kentucky offensive coordinator.
Wow. Now, tell me this. How do you have confidence that Kentucky's going to keep the same head coach and not Gus at Auburn? I mean,
you don't. I mean, he was the offensive coordinator for, Tuberville at Cincinnati.
Right.
That's where he hired him from. So.
Right. He was the running back coach for us back when we had Cadillac and Ronnie.
Sure.
He was the one guy that could stop both of them from being successful at the same time until Borges came in and said, nope, we're using them both at the same time. And Grant said, well, okay.
And the other thing that's going on is just the huge quarterback carousel in the SEC with all the quarterbacks transferring. We've kind of talked about that and joked about it, but I mean, the Texas A&M quarterbacks, there's the Georgia quarterback, the guy that started against Florida this year is transferring. The Florida quarterback, Will Greer, is transferring. The Kentucky quarterback, Patrick Toles, is transferring.
Good grief.
And so my idea was at a live show on the SEC network where they're only allowed to transfer within the SEC, and we have musical chairs where there's a chair with each team's logo on it, and the transferring quarterbacks walk around, and then they all try and sit down.
I love it.
What would the ratings for that be?
Oh, right, yeah, absolutely. Awesome.
You'd be all over that.
And one person doesn't get a seat and has to transfer to double A team.
Mm-hmm.
It's like relegation.
Well, like Toles is transferred to Boston College. You can see the sense in that. They're terrible. So,
yeah. By the way, in post-production, I am going to be – will be played out by the Star Wars Cantina music. I'm going to find it, and I'm going to insert it in post-production.
Absolutely.
All right. One last factoid. I heard that Stuart Mandel mentioned this, and I thought it was interesting. Michigan State will actually play in two Cotton Bowls in one calendar year this year.
I like it.
That's pretty weird.
That is weird.
Two, yeah. We played in the 50th Sugar Bowl and then in the 50th Cotton Bowl.
That's cool.
In 83 and 85 seasons, the January 1st of those seasons, of the next, those seasons. That's about all. Any other thoughts as we are moving toward our conclusion?
No, I just, I'm excited to watch the playoff, in the other bowl games this week, and, I think some of the SEC teams are in trouble. We talked about that. I mean, I think, there's a lot of SEC teams that aren't good on offense. And I think they have real problems. And I think the SEC is bad at quarterback this year. There's a lot of SEC teams that are not good at quarterback, and they're going to have problems at bowl games because of it. And I think it also, Alabama's really good, but I think it creates a false sense of how good they are because they played so few teams with good quarterbacks. And I think they're going to play, a good quarterback at Michigan State, and if they win, they'll play a good quarterback in the next game. But I think Michigan State is plenty good enough to beat them on Thursday. So.
All right, well, let's do it. Who wins the Orange Bowl, Clemson or Oklahoma?
Clemson.
I'm going to go Oklahoma.
Okay.
Who wins the Cotton Bowl, Michigan State or some other team?
Michigan State.
Yeah, I got to hope Michigan State. I feel like they're not, but I sure.
Well, let me say this. I would say Michigan State's chances of winnings are about 40%, okay?
Yeah.
But I think either Oklahoma or Clemson are the perfect matchup to beat Alabama, okay?
Yeah.
They have great defense. They have great dynamic quarterbacks that can make plays. They have athletic wide receivers, and they both have really good running backs. I mean, Oklahoma has two guys that can play in the NFL at running back, and Clemson has a solid running back. So I think they're both plenty good enough to beat Alabama. So that's all we want out of this.
Who wins?
Although I mean, if I had my choice, I guess I'd rather Oklahoma or Michigan State win. It'd be, you know, because I've had enough of Dabo. So
right. I don't want Alabama or Clemson winning this. It's got to be Michigan State or Oklahoma. And given my choice of the four, I'll take Michigan State because we still owe them for 2013. So I'm going to be a Spartans. who wins Notre Dame, Ohio State?
Ohio State.
No, the correct answer is nobody gives a crap.
It's going to be a really good game. That's going to be a great game.
Don't care. And let me see. The other really important one, Alcorn State or North Carolina AT&T?
Oh, stop. Alcorn.
Alcorn. I'm going to go with the one that's got their own telecommunications network at North Carolina AT&T.
Like Ole Miss, Oklahoma State, and the Sugar Bowl?
Anything? Yeah, that one's okay too. Ole Miss I don't have a lot of faith in them. I need Ole Miss to quit winning so much because it looks bad that Gus's clone brother from another mother is doing better the last year or so. But at least they haven't gotten a national championship game, and we have. So
fair.
I think that's
I want to say this the last time. Okay, The only reason that Alabama made it to the SEC championship game this year is because of that stupid fourth down five lateral play in the Arkansas Ole Miss game. That is the only reason that Alabama won the SEC and is in the playoff. That stupid play by Burt Bielema's people to win that game against Ole Miss. If they lose that game, Ole Miss wins the SEC and Alabama's not in the playoff.
So if Ole Miss had won the SEC West, they would have played Florida, and they would have
killed them.
Killed Florida, although they went down and lost to Florida in Gainesville during the regular season. Remember,
that was with Greer. So.
Okay,
and well, they'd be payback. So,
all right, would Ole Miss have made it to the playoffs?
It would have been a discussion. They'd have been. I mean, I think there would have been an interesting discussion between them and some of the other teams.
Would they have left the SEC champion out of the playoffs?
Maybe.
Wow.
They had.
That is an interesting scenario, isn't it?
It is, but I mean, to me, at that point, I don't think you could take Ole Miss over like a two-loss Stanford team or two-loss Notre Dame.
Right. No.
So
there you go. All right. What have we learned?
We've learned that you can sing the Cantina song.
We've learned.
And we've learned that there was some ranting at the beginning of this episode.
There was. We've also learned that I can reel off the names of all, or maybe all, of Birmingham's professional football teams, and I'm doing the air quotes when I say Birmingham's professional football teams. I'm not proud of that, but I can do it. I spent time in Legion Field watching games that did not involve Auburn. Okie dokie. That's going to do it for our pre-bowl edition. I hope everybody enjoys the Birmingham Bowl. What's the Birmingham Bowl called? Oh, that's right. It's the Birmingham Bowl. And
remember, it's important. Noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central on Wednesday. So be ready.
Yeah, we're going on a trip to visit relatives up here, and so I'm going to have to DVR it or watch it when I get there and see if they'll DVR it for me on the way. All right. Be sure to pick up Lorendo. Kicking butt and taking names in the bookstores. Decades of Dominance doing pretty well right now.
Yep.
Season of Our Dreams, if you want to reminisce about the good old days. And I guess we're going to get on out of here. Our time is up. As always, we thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
All right, we're out. I will talk to you later. Have a good rest of the holiday.
You too, man. Take it easy.
All right. Go to bed.